Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Wednesday, March 18th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Sappenfield.
And I'm Jessica Mendoza.
What if Tom Brady is not who we think he is? Today, we learned that the most successful quarterback in National Football League history is leaving the New England Patriots, with whom he won a record 6 Super Bowls, and joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The chatter has begun. Who will fare better, Brady or the legendary coach he's leaving behind, Bill Belichick? For 20 years under Belichick, Brady was the image of his boss, businesslike, corporate, always hewing to the company line. But as a Buccaneer, he'll be working with Bruce Arians, a coach who once sang an off-color impromptu gospel song about sacking quarterbacks for a television show, who one former player described as having crazy swag, and who berates employees who stay at the office instead of attending their children's piano recitals. Bill Belichick, he is not. And that could mean a new Brady at age 43. Said Hall of Famer Steve Young on ESPN, "The Buccaneers are getting a guy that really wants to enjoy the last little bit of his career, and Bruce Arians is perfect for that. Tom loves football, and you've seen him love it in a unique Patriot way. Now, I think you'll see him love it in a unique Tom Brady way." Now to our 5 stories, which include how to handle the virus of misinformation, the challenges of one-party rule in Oregon, and the scientific wonders of a prehistoric chicken. Our first story. The first pandemic of the social media era has brought a parallel set of challenges, including the rapid spread of fear and false information. Here's how people are working to address that.
It's one thing to quarantine people. It's another to contain the fear and false information that's gone viral in the world's first social media pandemic. Conspiracy theories have spread faster than the virus itself. Scientific papers are being hastily released and debunked. The Trump administration has alleged a foreign disinformation campaign to spread fear, as everyone, from data scientists to pastors, try to address this parallel challenge. Dubbed an infodemic by the World Health Organization, many see an opportunity for society to come together in this crisis and emerge the stronger for it. Sometimes a crisis can give us a lot of fear, but it can also prompt us to think deeper and to think better, says Dr. Kristen Lee, a behavioral science professor at Northeastern University in Boston, who cautions against hype contagion. She advocates limiting social media consumption and finding opportunities to help others and live in a purpose-driven way. When we're using our skills, resources, and capacities to contribute to the betterment of society, she says, that really is known to elevate and protect our well-being through times of difficulty. This story was reported by Krista Case Bryant for The Monitor.
Oregon is so blue that Republican lawmakers have virtually no power. So they've walked out 3 times, throwing the legislature into turmoil. What is the role of a political superminority?
Once upon a time, Oregon was a model of bipartisanship. State lawmakers agreed to overhaul health care, balance budgets, and reform public education. The 2-year period was among the most productive in Oregon's history. Governing Magazine wrote in 2012. Hard to believe, perhaps, that was less than a decade ago. In the past year, Oregon Republicans have staged 3 walkouts, and the legislature's 2020 session ended earlier this month after passing just 3 of the 258 bills introduced. Analysts suggest the scorched earth tactic could deepen cynicism about the legislature at a time of slumping national confidence in democracy. The question before Oregon lawmakers and voters alike is whether they can agree to disagree, yet still resolve gridlock. Oregon's shift to the left in recent years leaves Republicans with few options to stop legislation they oppose. At the same time, party leaders admitted to misgivings after their most recent boycott in February. Legislators have offered several proposals to untie the walkout knot. I do really, really, really worry people are going to use this every time they don't get their way, Senator Herman Bertschinger Jr., the top Republican in the Senate, told reporters. This is not a good way to run a state. This story was reported by Martin Kuz for The Monitor.
Saudi Arabia is turning to tourism to boost its economy. But the biggest change might be how opening itself to the world is beginning to reshape a long-insulated nation.
Saudi Arabia and vacation are not words that often go together for Westerners. But the conservative kingdom has spent the past 3 years preparing its archaeological and natural sites for tourists as part of its bid to wean the country's economy off of oil. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman hopes to raise tourism's share of GDP and create up to 500,000 jobs for Saudis in the industry. But as the once-closed country launches itself as a destination, perhaps the most remarkable sights to be seen are the changes being made to society. The epicenter of this shift to tourism is in Al Ula, a small, arid, date palm-producing oasis town in the middle of a rugged desert in western Saudi Arabia. The area is home to rock-carved tombs and dwellings made by Nabataeans 2,000 years ago. The UNESCO World Heritage Site was once a trade center on the spice route. A year ago, Minza Al-Ramuthi had never held a job or even spoken to a man outside her family. I used to ask my father, who built these houses? Who carved these rocks? And he didn't have a real answer, she says. Now I am the one with the answers. This story was reported by Taylor Luck in Al Ula, Saudi Arabia, for The Monitor.
Birds are the only surviving dinosaurs. How did they do it? Scientists aren't sure, but tantalizing clues could hold lessons about natural resilience that matter just as much today.
Not all dinosaurs went extinct when a 6-mile-wide asteroid slammed into Earth some 66 million years ago. Birds, a type of theropod dinosaur, survived. Scientists don't know why birds withstood the global catastrophe while other dinosaurs perished, but as they dig into that question, they could tease out modern lessons for resilience. Paleontologists have unearthed precious few bird fossils from that era, and most that they have found are just fragments. Finding them will be key to homing in on which traits made the ancestors of living birds such survivors. But there's a new specimen in town that could add significant insights. In a paper published Wednesday in the journal Nature, a team of paleontologists described the fossil of a bird that lived 66.7 million years ago. Asteriornis, as the new species has been named, is a small-bodied bird with long, slender legs, like a sandpiper. But its skull looks like a cross between a chicken and a duck, so researchers nicknamed it Wonder Chicken. This story was reported by Eva Botkin-Kowacki for The Monitor.
Gardening nurtures the soil and the spirit. These books are full of fresh insights, from pollination to the miracle qualities of vinegar. You can find the full list by Judy Lowe in today's issue. Now, commentary on global politics in a time of crisis from The Monitor's editorial board. Around the world, lawmakers are trying to carry on their work during the pandemic. This is particularly true in Iraq, where an attempt to establish a secular democracy in the heart of the Arab world shows new promise. For 6 months, Iraq's politics has been in turmoil following grassroots protests. On Tuesday, Iraq's president named a candidate as prime minister designate to form a government. He is Adnan Al-Zerfi, a member of parliament who once lived in Detroit and is a dual U.S.-Iraqi citizen. He is also a former governor of the Shiite Muslim shrine city of Najaf. During his tenure, he earned a reputation for integrity and standing up to Shiite militants. More important, Mr. Zerfi supports the protesters' aims of inclusive rule and an end to Iranian meddling. Iraq's unstable government now faces the task of containing the coronavirus. Mr. Zerfi has until April 16th to persuade factions in parliament to accept him as prime minister. The virus crisis puts the country's divisions in a new perspective. Politics must give way to clean and effective governance in order to, as Mr. Zerfi puts it, achieve the aspirations of the Iraqis. That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. Thank you for joining us today. Please come back tomorrow when Harry Bruinius looks at how those who live a life of service to others, such as pastors and service providers, are navigating the call for social distancing. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective column speaks to how illness can sometimes seem frightening, but a willingness to see ourselves and others as God's pure, flawless, beloved children lifts fear and brings God's healing presence to light. You can find the column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. But before you go, a quick editor's note about the Christian Science Perspective column that appeared in yesterday's issue. Due to a technical error, the audio version of this article was incomplete, and we apologize for the inconvenience and are working to correct the problem. Lastly, we want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Jessica Mendoza and Jeff Turk.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2020.